Well, hi again. This is Bob Brundage. And the date today is August the 4th, 2005. And today we're having the pleasure of talking with a very busy square dance couple up in Rumford, Rhode Island. Art and Pat and Anthony. And I'm anxious to find out because I know they've had a very busy life. So why don't we start out, Art, and tell us a little bit about where you were born and brought up, and a little bit about square dance, what life was like before square dancing.
Well, let's see. I was born in Cranston. Uh-oh, here comes the tough part. In July 2nd, 1931. Can't be that long ago. My father was a mechanic, breaking wheel, and he just bought his business. And of course, that was kind of like in the Depression times. And I remember living in a tenement, and we had a lot of macaroni. but he was pretty successful. And by the time I was about 5 years old, he bought a house here in East Providence. Now Rumford is one of these pieces of Rumford. Pieces of East Providence. Boy, talk about getting confused when you get older, huh?
Right.
So we were in East Providence, and I was 6 years old, and I ended up going to East Providence Elementary School, and we just kind of chugged along. My father was a great one for traveling.
Uh-huh.
Even in those days, in 1938, we went to California.
Wow.
Bought a new 39 Pontiac, and in those days, that was something.
I bet.
his uncle and his brother lived in Whittier and San Diego. So
right.
We went out, and I saw a lot of the country.
Good.
I remember being at Boulder Dam, and when I went back, a couple of the Color Lab conventions, we went back, and of course, now it's Hoover Dam.
Yeah.
Said, you know, it's just like when I was 7 years old. And,
yeah.
And he did go back and forth a lot, and we were on the road. He loved to travel. And
well, and gas was about $2 a gallon cheaper in those days.
Yeah, pretty close. Yeah. So,
okay.
I was out of school a little bit. But,
yeah.
I managed to keep going.
Right. So did you get on through college somewhere?
No, was one of those that went on because my father was a mechanic.
Yeah.
I worked for him for a while.
Okay, good.
And then I went to work for an automotive parts company as a machinist and
uh-huh.
a parts man and then the manager and kind of. And of course, somewhere along the line, I think, when was it? When were we? We were married in 1951. Huh?
All right.
Yeah. So I guess she had to be with me. She went to school. Pat was in school with me from the seventh grade on.
There you go.
And because I showed her how to, you know, do all the good stuff like the science and that.
Right.
I was pretty good at, but. Bunking class, and no, we never bunk classes.
Okay. So, military?
No. We just kind of fell right in the middle.
Yeah, okay. No problem. You were married long before you got into square dancing then, so the next question might be, how did you get into square dancing in the first place?
Well, as I mentioned, my father loved to travel, and he and my mother would go to Florida for a good part of the winter after he retired. They went down to a place called Newport Richey, which was kind of like a Rhode Island center. I don't know. There was a few callers down there, I guess.
Yeah.
One of them was Don Armstrong.
Right.
I think he had a radio station down there.
Yes, he did. Yep.
So, now this would be about 1949, and then they kept coming back. And then when Pat and I were married in 51, and they come back, oh, you know, you got to go square dancing. Oh, give me a break, you know. Like the rest of the guys, drag me.
Right.
So we, he kept bugging us. And then he started with Dick Ledger in the Friendly Mixers.
Yes.
Whoops, wrong club. Merrymakers.
Okay.
Dick had started the Merrymakers. They were just getting going in 1955.
Oh, yes.
And sure enough, I ended up in one of Dick Ledger's classes. Very small at that time. I think we had six couples, and we took between 8 and 10 lessons. Dick was just a fabulous person to learn to dance, and of course his timing was always on, right on the button with the man with the guitar.
Yeah.
And we ended up going into the club and dancing. And I mentioned to someone what I was playing with Dope Asso the other night with some of the new people. Or I said, you know, when we called a Dope Asso, we say partner left, and you're on your own. You just had to keep doing it.
That's right.
So we stopped.
Yeah.
And we kept going for about 3 years or so, and I got interested in calling. My father said, you know, these guys make big dollars. He said, they're up there for 3 hours, and he said, they get $25.
Right.
So I started in a little with Dick, but then we were dancing with a lot of the people around. And you know how the young people are. We wanted to move up. So we started dancing with Ray and Claire Anderson. They had the Eden Park Hoedowners.
Okay.
They were great round dance teachers. Good friends of Dick and Evelyn Doyle.
Right.
And we went back and forth. We danced the clubs, and then Ray kind of helped me. And next thing I know, in 1959, I started calling, and he wanted to get into the rounds, just the rounds, he and Claire. And within a couple of years, I took over the Eden Park Hoedowners. And we continued up the ladder to high level. Any questions?
Yeah, I was just going to say, when did you start a club of your own?
When we took over, we started running classes for Eden Park, and then we had another club up in Holden, Mass. That we would continue from. I think we started in October and we ended in April.
Uh-huh.
And we'd have about 15 squares, and we just keep something like we're talking about now, you know. You never stopped. You just keep putting them in the end. And,
right.
And, of course, we didn't do rounds at that time very much. It was White Silver Sands.
Right.
Somebody said, oh, you did Left Footers. I said, no, Left Footers wasn't out yet.
Oh, is that right?
But basically you did. You kind of did the ones that were new, and then the others helped, the angels, as we call them, and moved right along about 3 or 4 years. The ladies decided they wanted to form a club, and then they started to try to be a little exclusive. And I think we know where that took us. It started a long time ago, and it's taken us down a kind of a rocky road.
Right.
We're ending up with, and I went from, I also had the Western Willers for about 15, 18 years. Super, super people.
Good.
And we had many classes, and when I just think back, and Pat was doing the queuing, but of course, gradually she was doing the queuing, because you taught the round, but you didn't cue it
right
in those days.
Yep.
So she got into cueing, and we kind of continued on. And all of a sudden, I started with another club, Frontier Twirlers. I was calling for them also. And they really, people would come in and they just would not be nice to them. And all of a sudden, I said, what am I doing here? I want to have fun. And there's
yes.
anybody that knows me, I know you. Mill will tell you, I'm a little off the wall. Sometimes I think Franny Heinz comes out in me.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And we said, wait a minute, we're going to get off of this high-level bit. We're going to start just having fun.
Right.
And we had two girls, 11 years apart, so that kind of stumbled the whole thing.
Yeah.
And we found out from another caller who had had kind of a bad thing when their daughter got married and told them, you guys always went to square dancing first, and I was always the last thing. Went to Camp Beckett. I don't know if you remember Camp Beckett up in Springfield. And
sure.
Oh, that's all we ever did. I went up there, and I always had to be with those square dance brats. And, you know, he came and he said to us, he said, Arthur, don't neglect your family.
Yeah.
So for about 10 years or so, we really backed off and still called, but not a tremendous amount.
Yes.
And then when the girls started to get married, they stopped. They all were doing a little teenage dancing, and we were working with that. Do I have them now? Did I ever really get them into club? No.
Yeah. Well, that's the way it goes.
Yes. And,
Is Pat right there? Can I?
Yeah, hang on a second.
Yeah.
Hi.
Hi, Pat. How you doing today?
I'm hanging in there.
Well, good. I wanted to get a little of your background. I understand you were really acquainted with art for many, many years back in seventh grade, you said.
Yep.
And then when you got married, you got into square dance together, and he started calling and you started queuing, so
yep.
I wanted to get that down. So when did you start getting interested in the queuing part of it?
When we were working, when I was working with Ray Anderson and Claire.
Oh, yeah.
Because they taught the rounds, and so she started to teach me.
Uh-huh.
And so I picked it up and did them. But it was just as he said, at that particular era, you only cued the first sequence.
Right.
And then you shut up and they danced to the music.
Yeah.
Because we didn't have tons of them at that time.
Right.
And so it was easier to do, and it was always the music with me.
Yes.
Eventually, we backed out, as Art said, for about 10 years and danced and did a little bit, and I stopped queuing.
Uh-huh.
And then he started summer dances, and we needed a queuer. So I came back in and couldn't believe what had happened to the rounds.
Oh, sure.
Oh, my God. So, anyway, it was a long road back.
I'm sure,
to get used to the new, all the new cues, and you had to cue every single one because they all had different endings.
Yes.
And they were coming through fast and furious, and it was wow. So,
right.
As a result, I have records downstairs everywhere.
Yeah.
And I am still cueing. I'm doing the summer dances, and I've been cueing and kept up with it. Although I don't go beyond, I do up to about level 3.
Yes.
I don't don't do much with the 4s. They're getting up 4s and 5s and 6s.
Well, you're getting into pretty serious round dancers when you get to phase 4 and above.
Yeah, and I'm at the stage of life where I really don't want to get into that, thank you.
Sure.
I like little few chars and the rumbas and stuff.
Yeah.
It's kind of fun.
Yeah.
But the people that I'm queuing to, most of them are still, they're older, and they're still doing the easily level
right.
of the rounds and the old music. They like the music.
Sure.
So it stops me on some of the things that I'm doing. I just go with the flow.
Well, that's really nice. And, well, nice to talk to you, Pat. Let me get talk to Art again.
Okay, thanks.
Open in the window. let some of the cool air that's coming in.
Yes, okay. Well, I wanted to talk about, I know you've been very active as a volunteer in the business, and I want to be sure to acknowledge all of your efforts along that line. I know, for example, that you and Pat received the Yankee Clipper Award back in 2000.
Right, we did.
Yes. And that is certainly a very prestigious award, and it's just not given out lightly, so it only indicates that you've been very, very active in your volunteer efforts in New England, I know. So let's think about NECA for a minute. That's the New England Council of Callers Associations. And at one time you were treasurer of that organization.
Still am.
And still are. Okay, I wasn't
sure. Yes, I was. I guess it's 9 years now.
Is that right?
I'm thinking it's about 9 years.
Right.
And
tell us a little bit about what NECA's purpose is.
Well, NECA is kind of the mother for our local associations.
Yes.
We have right now about 10 associations in New England.
Yes.
I'm with the Narragansett Callers, which is the Rhode Island.
Okay.
And I was president, and let's see, about 4 times, and I was vice president, and Pat was secretary. We've been working along with that. So then we said, well, okay, before I became treasurer, I was the delegate to NECA.
Yes.
And of course, we have right now, I think, somewhere around 200 callers that are on our books for NECA.
Yes.
And we work together with Ed Sauder, which is the Squared Answers Association. And we originally were involved in the startup of that, and I'm trying to think about 48 years ago. It was we had a meeting at a place called Square Acres.
Right.
Howard Hogue.
Yes.
We had 5 halls, and it was just boomtown out
there. Right.
And that's where we held the first meeting of Ed Sauder. And we all thought that this is something we should be doing. We should.
Right.
At that time, we didn't have a local federation for the dancers, and they formed that fairly soon.
Right.
So, and then we got one more. It was what we call co-op, and joined together with the rounds. We think we have a unique system here in New England. We have the callers, which is NECA, Ed Sauder, and NECARTER.
Right.
And now what? Holds them all together and plans helps keep us all in line.
Right. Well, tell us exactly what NECA stands for, and then Ed Sauder and NECARTER.
Oh boy, you're gonna.
No, I can do it. I can do it. NECA is the New England Council of Callers Association. And the Ed Sauder is the Eastern District Square and Round Dance Association.
Yeah.
And NECARTER is the New England Council of Round Dance Teachers Association. Yeah. And you've been involved in all of them, you and Pat.
Oh, yeah, Pat's been an officer in the quarter, and we have our local Rhode Island Round Dance Teachers Association, which, believe it or not, I am the president of now.
There you go.
Yes. they ran out of people. I said, now you got to be scraping the bottom of the barrel when you're going to put a caller in
for your president. Well, a lot of callers are cures, too, you know. And
well, that's right. And
yeah.
Pat being a cure.
Yeah.
She was president for 2 years, and then she had to keep it up. You know, they put this limit.
Sure.
They'll have this limit of 2 years for the president.
Yeah.
Keep the other people forever.
Yeah.
But, they said, well, how about I taking over, because the Maj and Bill, who've been the treasurer the secretary, they've been the secretary of our local.
Uh-huh.
And they were the treasurer of co-op for, I think, 12, 15 years, and they just kind of kept chugging along. So.
Well, I know there's a lot of collaboration between the three groups, and a lot of people are delegates or officers in one and as well as another and so forth, just as you have been. So, and you've been involved with the New England Convention, I know.
Oh, yes. Yep.
And I see one blurb I saw that you were chairman of the Trail Out Dance.
Yes, that's for my good friend Anner and Mill Dixon.
Yeah, right. So, that's really great. And are you still actively calling?
Yes, matter of fact, Pat mentioned the summertime dances.
Yes.
15 years we've been running dances in the summer, almost every Saturday. There's one or two Saturdays that we couldn't get the hall. And it's worked very well for people that come out of class, and they can come and practice and just have plain fun. And I think we've got a lot of things going on the internet right now that says fun, we better put fun back in, or we're all in big trouble.
Right. Where are those dances held now, Art?
We hold those in the same hall for 16 years, and it's in Esmond, which is part of Smithfield, Rhode Island. It's like 15 miles from my home here.
Uh-huh. Okay.
A lot of other clubs use it now. We've got everybody using it, so it's a very popular hall.
Good. One of the questions I've been asking all the interviewers is, interviewees, I should say, do you have any regrets? Is there anything you wished you'd done differently?
This is hard to say. You know, you find that the callers kind of hedge on this one. I think we wasted a lot of people.
Uh-huh.
And I don't blame it on the callers. Everybody's to blame on this, that we were losing people every two and a half years when we were going. And Howard Hogue sat with us when a fellow by the name of Bob Kent was out there with me.
Yes.
We were doing a weekend, and he said, you know, you guys are flying high. It's not going to last, guys.
Yeah.
You're running through people, and the people in square dancing have to both be able to do it, both want to do it.
Right.
And stay that way.
Yeah.
He said, you've got to have a partner. It isn't like bowling, and that always comes up. And
yes.
When we talk, and I think back when I was calling high level, that maybe I should have stayed with what Dick Ledger did a little bit more.
Yeah.
And kind of played what I'm doing now. I call strictly mainstream.
Yes.
And I call a lot of patents, particularly on the singing calls, because I grew up with you can take a rest on the singing call, and then we'll work you to death on a patter. You
know? Yes. where do you think square dancing might be going?
I can tell you from the Rhode Island area, it's really tough. We are going to... I belong to the Rhode Island Foundation. They're little bit inactive now, but we've been trying to save square dancing, introduce it to the children, and wherever we can put it. We've got to keep it out there. Our governor square danced 20 years ago, and he never realized what he was getting into when he got the governorship of Rhode Island, but he and his wife said, you know, we thought this was going to be when we were going to come back into square dancing, and here we are up to our ears in politics that is
sure
terrible, you know.
Yeah.
So, but he's helping out a bit. We've lost two of our major clubs, one with 47 years. That was the Friendly Mixers that I called on and off for at least three or four dances every year in their potties, because I'm a kind of a potty
yes.
type guy. And the Whirlaways that Everett Mackin was calling for, and Maj Eden queuing, they were in 41 years. Those were, we still have the Town Hollows, which are coming up with their 50th anniversary next year.
Right.
And the big time is, they are probably the strongest club in Rhode Island.
Well, good.
We had well over 2,000 dancers now. I have a list that probably is about 125
yes.
of Rhode Island dancers.
Right. Well, I see we're getting down near the end of this tape, Bart, and so I really appreciate you taking the time to talk with me this evening, and unless you can think of something else you'd like to add.
Just that we're going to hang with this and keep square dancing and having fun as we almost always did. But for the last 16 years,
yes.
that's been my motto, and so we're headed in the right direction, I think, that callers now
good.
Are going to keep square dancing, and we're going to all have a good time together.
Great. That's great. Well, thank you for your thoughts, and thanks to Pat also for...
very good. It's been great talking to you, and maybe we'll see you at the next convention.
Well,
don't
hold your breath. It's a long ways from Albuquerque, you know.
Albuquerque. Oh, I think I know that. Yeah,
yeah.
We've been through there three or four times.
Okay. So.
But you're doing a great job, and it's a great thing that you're doing.
Well, thank you, Art. I appreciate that. So, well, I'll be sending you a copy of this tape, and I'll be sending you an email about for make some corrections to some of the names that you've mentioned.
Yep.
So you'll be hearing from me, and I thank you very much for your help.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Bob.
Yep.
Bye. Bye-bye.
Bye.